time and time and time and time again to be with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us, to be Emmanuel. So I'm so grateful that I am safe in His hand, and I want to remain in His hand. Amen? Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team, for serving us so well this morning. Thanks, Sister Eleanor. I want to say behind that conservative shirt and tie, there's a real honky-tonk inside of Ed. Wow. And he had good partners in crime there on bass and drums as well. Someone asked if these two fine young men are our sons. They aren't. I know they're good-looking enough to be, but they aren't. Two of our students from Vanguard College, Nathan and Matthew, and Nathan comes from Ontario, don't hold that against him. Matthew comes from Montreal, don't hold that against him. They are coming by to make sure that one of their profs is still teaching Jesus and good theology and all those. And they'll be sending emails to the president, I'm sure, immediately following the service. So, question for you. We began last Sunday, and today and the next two Sundays, just as in this first month of the year, looking at prayer, specifically look at praying. It's the ing that makes important, that we don't just talk about it, but that we actually do it. So here's a question for you. How many different ways can we pray? How many different ways can we pray? Or I could ask the question, what does prayer look like? What does prayer look like? There's a little story that I just love. It's probably not a true story. Preachers don't lie. They just tell illustrations, okay? But this is a little story about a young man who was courting a young lady, and he really liked her. And he wanted to impress her with his spirituality. So he took her outside to the backyard under a beautiful big tree, and they sat down on the grass, leaning against the tree, and then he got real spiritual looking, and he began to pray. Father, Father, up above, may I kiss the one I love. Like a Bible college student, trying to be really spiritual to impress the ladies. It happens, not these two, but it happens with other students. What he didn't know was that a younger brother was up in the tree. And much to both of their surprise, they heard from above, sinner, sinner, down below, pucker up and let her go. Not a true story, but thank you for laughing anyways. So what does prayer look like? I tell students all the time, I have two favorite prayers. The first one, and you feel free to use these at free charge, no royalties. My first favorite prayer is just help. Have you prayed that one before? Help. We said last week that the prayer is an act of dependence. You're God, I'm not, I need you. So I love that prayer, help. The other prayer that goes along with it is, this was your idea, God. Not meant in disrespect, not being cheeky to God, but how often do I find myself saying, God, I believe you led me here. I believe you brought me here. This was your idea. This was your doing. I need you. I'm trusting you to make this thing come about. As you continue to pray for the whole pastoral search process, even as Joseph gave you a brief update today, by the way, all the staff I ever hired mocked me for my glacial pace. I was very slow because I wanted to make sure we got it right. But you know, folks, we don't want to make anything happen. Because if we make it happen, then it's on us. But when God makes it happen, we go, God, this was your idea. And it's good to us. And we walk in that. We trust in that. Keith Smith, who used to pastor many years ago at Evangel here in the city. We had a chance to serve together at Agent Corps Pentecostal Church, where he continues to lead. He used to talk about how God has four answers to our prayer. Here's God's four answers to how we pray. Number one, yes. Number two, no. Number two, wait. And number three, wait. Just testing. Number four, you've got to be kidding. That may be true. I've been fighting a cold, and I took medication this morning so I wouldn't be all phlegmy, and I am just dry as a desert. By the way, it's beautiful weather. It was minus 30 when I left the house this morning at 5:30. Not a mosquito in sight. It was beautiful. Bill Hybels, a pastor out of Chicago area, he wrote this once in one of his books. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. Sometimes the things we pray for we don't get because we may be praying amiss. As a little kid, I wanted a mini bike. I prayed hard for a mini bike. When we'd go on trips in Ontario along the 401, I would envision myself, before visioning was the whole thing, I would envision myself riding through the ditches on a little motorbike, a little mini bike. I prayed for that. God never answered my prayer. When I started riding some mini bikes when I was a little bit older and hurt myself, I realized why God didn't answer that prayer. Not everything I ask for is the right thing to ask for at times. So what does prayer look like? And maybe here's the more important question. What does prayer look like in your life? What does prayer look like in your life and in mine? I said last week and this morning we're going to try to be really practical. It's not a leap to talk about the importance of prayer in a church. But I've pastored long enough, both youth and adults alike, who they know prayer is important, but they struggle with their prayer life. They know it's important, but they always feel like it's lacking in their life. It's not as vital, it's not as strong as they wished it were. And we preface all this conversation with the disciples who, in Luke 11, they come to Jesus, they make the connection in Jesus' private life with his public ministry, and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. So that's the premise for all of this, that Lord, teach us to pray. I have more to learn about prayer. You have more to learn about prayer than you've learned to this point in time. So if we come with that attitude, Lord, teach us to pray. Philip Yancey, in a book on prayer, he says this, if prayer stands as the place where God and humans meet, then I must learn about prayer. Most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same two themes, why God doesn't act the way we want God to, and why I don't act the way God wants me to. Prayer is the precise point where those themes converge. Prayer is where I come into God's presence and I become transformed. I become changed by Him. So we want to learn how to pray. We want to learn how to pray because we have much to learn in this area. So back to Ephesians chapter 6, 18 through 20. We came to this passage last week, and this is the focus for our teaching time. These four all statements. And so last Sunday we talked about Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit. There is never a moment in time where prayer is out of fashion. By the way, I heard a preacher once say, praying doesn't mean we don't do anything, but we don't do anything without praying. Praying doesn't mean we don't do anything. There's a call to action. We walk by faith. We sang that. I'm tempted for us to sing that again at the end of the service. I'm tempted. We walk by faith. Praying doesn't mean we don't do anything, but we don't do anything without praying. So Paul says, praying all the time, whether it's in a set assembly time, as we were led in prayer this morning, in our own private moments where we have set times to pray, in the breath prayers that come out of us throughout the day, help me, Jesus. I love you, Lord. All the time. And we said last week, Paul says, praying all the time in the Spirit. And we said that phrase, in the Spirit, applies this whole passage. But we basically said last week that we want to have an active, ongoing partnership with the Spirit of God in prayer. An active, ongoing partnership with the Spirit in prayer. We are praying people. Not people who talk about prayer. Don't talk to me. I want to be praying. So the first phrase, praying at all times in the Spirit. Now we come to the second one where Paul says, praying with all prayer and supplication. Praying with all prayer and supplication. The NIV says, all kinds of prayers. New American Standard says all prayer and petition. The Holman Version says all prayer and requests. All prayer and supplication. The two words used in the Greek, the first one, a very generic word for prayer, the idea of just talking to God. And last week we said prayer is no more than us talking, a conversation connecting with God. So that first word, prayer, a bit more generic. Supplication, a different word that's used for prayer, has the idea of petition, asking, to entreat him. In fact, some say almost to beg him. Now, please may I say something. We come to God with a sense of entreating, of supplication, looking and asking of God. But let's be careful that we are not begging after God who is uncooperative. When Jesus tells the story of the widow at midnight, with a judge, and also the neighbor who has friends show up at midnight, and in Eastern hospitality, you need to provide them something, and his cupboards are bare, and so he goes next door to his neighbor's house, and he begins to knock. He knocks and knocks. The neighbor says, "Go away. I'm in bed with my kids. Like, don't bother me." He keeps knocking and knocking and knocking. And finally, just to quiet him, the neighbor gets up and gives him some bread. The judge eventually, who is a wicked judge, eventually gives the widow what she's asking for. But when Jesus tells these stories, he says, "How much more will your heavenly Father give you what you ask? How much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit?" So when we come to make supplication, to beg God, we're not trying to convince him. He's God. But we're coming with our sense of urgency towards him. A God who's willing to hear and answer prayer. And I thank God he doesn't answer every prayer I ask, because my understanding is limited and he sees everything. Folks, if God answered every prayer we ever prayed, some of us would be in deep water right now. H.H. Barber, a pastor we served with in Winnipeg years ago, he's still alive and has a TV ministry, but he used to say, prayer is not determining God's will. Prayer is discerning God's will. It's discovering God's will. Because sometimes I'm trying to pray through on something, and I think it should be A. God, give me A. Give me A. And it's not happening. And I pray, and as I begin to pray and entreat God and seek him, God says, "Mark, you need B. You need B. This is what you need. Not A, you need B." So prayer and supplication. Paul in Philippians, and we said this a few weeks ago, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So prayer, supplications, thanksgiving, request, all being made known to God. So, the point this morning is, now there's a funny phrase, and I don't know where it came from, I don't understand it, but people say once in a while, there's more than one way to skin a cat. I've never skinned a cat. Now, if you are a cat lover here, we still love each other in Jesus, but I'm not a cat lover, I'm allergic to them. In a room of 1,000 people, it wants to rub against my leg, it knows. But that phrase that there's more than one way to skin a cat, I don't know where that came from. It's kind of, but here's the point. There's more than one tool in the toolbox when it comes to prayer. There's more than one way that we come before. There are all kinds of prayers. All kinds of prayers, more than one tool in the toolbox. Think for yourself, just for a moment. Just don't out loud, but just for a couple of seconds, think about all the words that are used to describe prayer in Scripture. Just begin to think. Make your own mental list for a moment. I'll give you mine. Think about it. All the different words that are used to describe prayer in Scripture. This is not exhaustive, but here's a list. Prayer, supplication from this passage. Petition, requests, thanksgiving, confession, fasting, groans, sighs, cry, crying, cries. Laying on of hands, to lift one's voice, agreement in his name, prayer of faith, to name a few. Many ways that prayer is described in Scripture. And if you were to think about just that, but just many prayer, examples of prayer and supplication in the Gospels, in the life of Jesus and his disciples. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the water, Luke's the one that brings it to our attention, that while he came out of the water, while he was praying, the Holy Spirit came upon him, just the way it happened in the book of Acts. But it was while he was praying. While living in Capernaum, Jesus would go outside of town and he would be praying by himself in a solitary place. Before choosing the 12 disciples, Jesus spends a prolonged season of time in prayer. So, as a search committee is serving on behalf, we all need to be spending time in prayer that God would direct the process. Jesus did that as he chose those to serve in leadership with him. Before he distributes the food, he lifts it to God and he gives thanks for this food and asks God to make it multiply to those around him. Again, after the feeding of the 5,000, he's off by himself praying again, time and time and time again. Jesus finds himself alone praying to God. That's why Jesus, who is all man but all God, but all man, he says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. How could he say that? Because in prayer, the Father instructed him. The Father directed him. The Father guided him. Jesus takes a few disciples up into the mountain to pray, and there he's transfigured, and they have this heaven on earth kind of a moment, but it happens as they are praying. The disciples, as I said already, they asked Jesus to teach them. Children are brought to Jesus, and he takes them in his arm, and he blesses them. He prays God's blessing upon those children, even though the disciples thought he was too busy for these little kids. Jesus is, on a regular basis, going to the temple at the hour of prayer. As a Jewish man, he goes to the temple to pray to the God of Israel, who is our God. So Jesus is in the temple at the hour of prayer on a regular basis. On one occasion, he gets a little ticked. That's a Hebrew-Greek word. He's ticked because of the money changers. It's not just what they were doing, but the fact that their activity, the temple was a place for people to come and to connect with God, and they were putting up hindrances to keep people from the place of prayer. And so Jesus goes all Clint Eastwood with some cords and overturns the tables. I love that story as a little kid. That's my Jesus. Overturning the tables and chasing those, saying, my Father's house will be a house of Jesus prays for his disciples. He invites his disciples to come with him and to intercede on the night before he was betrayed. So, obviously, the most easy thing to say is that Jesus was, he had a pattern of prayer in his life. It was about who, what he did. He had a pattern of prayer, and every time Jesus prayed, it wasn't always the same way. There were all kinds of prayers seen in the life of Jesus. So if you track through the life of Jesus, you see that there's a pattern of prayer. Luke especially, who writes Luke in the book of Acts, shows us that wherever there is spirit activity, it flows out of a context of prayer. Listen, if you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life, but you are not praying, I have bad news for you. It will not happen. Spirit activity came out of a context of prayer in the life of Jesus. So Jesus had a pattern of prayer, and then when disciples literally said, teach us to pray, he gave them a model prayer. And we call this the Lord's Prayer, but perhaps we should call it the disciples' prayer. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, by the way, in Luke, when you pray, he says, in Matthew, Jesus says twice, when you pray, when you fast. So from Jesus' perspective, it's not if you choose to fast, if you choose to pray, he expects us to be praying, fasting people. When you pray, he says, not if, but when you pray, when you fast, he's expecting us to do that. So that model prayer that he gave us, that we are so familiar with, it's kind of funny now when people say, let's pray the Lord's Prayer together, because we've now grown up with multi-translations, right? And so as you walk the Lord's Prayer and you try to say it together, it's never perfect, because someone's doing King James, someone's doing New King James, someone's doing NIV, and Lord help us if the Amplified Version person's there, because it doesn't always sound the same way, you know? But can I suggest this? Now, there's something wonderful when we can actually pray the Lord's Prayer together, verbatim, word for word. But can I suggest when the Lord gave that prayer, he wasn't just saying, memorize these words and keep repeating them. Because the Pharisees had some pretty God-like words that they would repeat on a regular basis, and Jesus rebuked them for their empty, vain repetition. I would like to suggest that when Jesus gave the model prayer, he was actually talking about different types of prayer. So to go through it really, really quickly. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Those are prayers of worship, of adoration, claiming and connecting with the reality of who our God is. There are worship prayers that are filled with adoration for who God is. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven. Those are prayers of surrender. I would suggest this is intercession. This is saying, God, we want your will to be done. We want your kingdom to come. We begin to intercede. I can pray those words over Pam's life, over my children's life, over the church's life, over students' lives. Oh God, may your kingdom come. May your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. We begin to intercede. We begin to intercede. And by the way, it can be general, it can be specific. When you're praying for the will of God to come, you'll hear me say this a couple times this morning, this is a great time to begin to pray Scripture. If you want to make sure you're praying in the will of God, pray Scripture. You're praying the very will of God. Give us this day our daily bread. These are the petitions, the requests, the supplications. We are asking God for the very things we need. Aren't you glad he lets us do that? He lets us pray for the things that we need today. But, may I just coach us? Don't just fixate on what you want, what you need. Begin to pray with what God wants, what he needs. Your will come. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. These are prayers of repentance for our sins. That's a type of prayer. Father God, forgive me. I messed up again. Ever prayed that prayer? Yeah, okay. You're with me now. That's part, prayers of repentance for our own sins. But it's not just repenting for our own sins, but we also begin to pray about releasing other people who have sinned against us. Oh, this doesn't always happen to church folks. Jesus says a whole lot about unforgiveness, a whole lot about bitterness. He says when we pray, we ask God to forgive us, but in prayer, we also begin to release other people who have sinned against us. Jesus talks about the fact that we can bind things on earth and they're bound in heaven. We can release things on earth and they're released in heaven. And sometimes when it comes to forgiveness, we need to begin to release some things. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These are prayers of warfare, of intercession, again, claiming the promises of God. Paul says, when you're tempted, it's only common. Don't feel like no one's ever been, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. No one's ever been tempted. No, he says your temptation is common. Others have had it too. God's drawn a line in the sand. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond where you can handle it. And every time you're tempted, there's an exit sign. We've got an exit sign there that in case of emergency, I know where to go. There's one there. I know where to go. He says, when you're tempted, it's common. Like, don't give yourself a pity party. It's common. God's drawn a line in the sand, and every time you're tempted, there's a way of escape. So I begin to pray. I begin to pray that, Lord, in terms of temptation and the evil one, I stand upon you. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. I begin to pray the world. I pray his word. I pray his promises. So here's the bottom line. You and I are instructed, but also invited to come before God to bring the things of our world, to bring the things of our life before him. And that's pretty cool. What a privilege. You and I are not just instructed, we are invited to come into God's presence and to lay our lives before him. We get to come before God, and we get to begin to wrestle through these things that we are facing. Instruction and invitation to pray. I've said it a couple times, but learn to pray Scripture, church. Learn to pray the Word of God. Look at the Word of God. Just begin to meditate upon it and begin to make it the source and the focus of how you pray. Because when you do that, you know that you know that you know you're praying the very will of God. You're praying His revealed will into your life, into your situation. Oftentimes in prayer, as I said earlier, we think we know. We think we know, but as we pray, God gives us some corrective eye surgery, and we begin to see things differently. I see it through His perspective, not my perspective. I tell you, folks, the world that we live in is not always an easy place. There's lots of troubles, and if I look at this world through my own perspective, my own resources, it's kind of scary. But when through prayer I begin to see my world and the things I face through His eyes, through His perspective, I begin to have confidence and hope. What does prayer look like in your life? What does prayer look like in your life? Paul says, praying with all kinds of prayer. I said it last week, I said it again, I'll repeat it because that's what I do, I'm sorry. But part of the series is that you and I, my prayer as your pastor, as your interim pastor, my prayer is that your prayer life in 2016 will take some steps forward. It'll look better than it did last year. It'll look stronger than it did last year. That's my goal. That we would say, I'm going to do some things new, some things differently in prayer this year. Again, after 30-some years of pastoral ministry, there's all kinds of people who've told me, I know I should, but I just can't. And January comes, I'm going to pray an hour every day, God. And they get down to pray the first day, oh Lord, bless the world, the whole world, bless it, bless Lord the world. Bless everyone in the world. 30 seconds. Oh, my Lord. So part of what we're trying to do this morning is to be really practical. What's prayer looking like in your life? There's more than one tool in the box. There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one approach to God. And we need to learn to embrace all of it and see what God has for us. I brought along this morning a couple of books. One that I read a few years ago by Richard Foster, simply entitled Prayer. In his book on prayer, he talks about three focuses, moving inward, moving upward, moving outward. In his book, he lists 21 types of prayers. From simple prayer to the prayer of adoration, prayer of the ordinary, petitionary prayer, sacramental prayer, 21 prayers, 21 tools in the toolbox that allow us to approach God. We've been instructed to pray. We've been invited to pray. He's waiting to see us. 21 types of prayer, Foster suggests in his book. You received a little insert this morning, and there's a little diagram. It comes from a book called by Dick Eastman that was written, I think, 27 years ago now, something like that. He wrote this little book called The Hour That Changes the World. It was a great little book. The Hour That Changes the World. And some of us who try to do that exercise where I'm going to pray for an hour, and boy, 5 minutes in, you feel like you've spent an eternity and you don't know where to go next. By the way, folks, if you were going to start running a training for a marathon, you wouldn't run the 26 miles the first day. So be realistic with that. But Eastman, in his book, The Hour That Changes the World, he believes that prayer changes things. And so he created this little idea that we're 12 segments of prayer, 12 tools, 12 approaches to God, and you take 5 minutes on each one of those and do the math, you've spent an hour with God in prayer. Very practical. Beginning with praise and worship, moving on to just being waiting upon the Lord, being quiet before Him. Confession of guilt and sin. God, this last week, I kind of messed up. Now, some of us may need 8-9 minutes on this little segment, just saying, depending on how your week went. But confession and guilt of sin. By the way, folks, 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why do you carry it around? Why wallow in your sin? Why let the enemy condemn you when you can come and confess it to God and he's willing to hear and answer? Number 4, praying Scripture. Have you heard that enough yet this morning? You'll hear it a couple more times. Learn to pray Scripture. Watching. Eastman says, in your prayer, maybe have the newspaper, maybe have the magazine, the Pentecostal testimony. Have something aware. Be aware. Be watching what's happening in our world. Be aware what's happening in your neighborhood. Be aware watching what's happening in your city. And make that a focus of your prayer. Intercession. Beginning to intercede. Listen, you intercede on the behalf of others. You stand in the gap for somebody else. Petitions. Bring your request for yourself, for your family, for those close to you. Thanksgiving. Learn to sing in your prayer closet. Now, for some of us, that should be the only place we sing because we don't sing well. But before the Lord, it's a beautiful sound. I love the psalm. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I used to stand on the platform with a pastor back in Ontario, and he loved Jesus, and he was a great guy, loved him. He was tone deaf. And on a Sunday morning, he'd be standing next to me on the platform. He couldn't keep time, and he was tone deaf. God bless him. I thought, you know, for that, if you're tone deaf, a praise time must seem like forever, because you can't really, but in your place of prayer, just to sing to God. Oh, to sing to God. The psalmist says that God inhabits, he's enthroned in the praises of his people. When we learn to praise him, our songs become a pathway, a portal where God's presence comes into our life in a greater dimension. Contemplation, meditating, find a theme from Scripture, find a verse from Scripture, and just be quiet and meditate on that verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing I need. The Lord, my shepherd. Yahweh, the God of gods, is watching over me. He's my shepherd. And I begin to meditate upon that. I lack nothing I need. He watches over. He sees. He goes before. And I just learn to contemplate and meditate on that theme from Scripture. I learn to listen, number 11. Again, I said last week, I think there are days where God in his love wants to say, Mark, would you please just shut up for a minute? I want to say something to you. Listen to the voice of God. Now listen, you listen with a discerning spirit. If you hear some wild thing and it doesn't line up with Scripture, then it may be just the pizza you ate late last night. It has to line up with the Word of God. Be discerning, but learn to listen to the voice of God. Learn to listen to the voice of God. And then he ends the way he began, with praise. So there's 12 tools, 12 ways that you and I could begin to pray and come before God. I'm going from 21 to 14. Now I'm dropping down to 4. I learned this years ago, but taking the word acts as an acrostic. 4 aspects in prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Folks, why not if you took 5 minutes on each one of those letters? There's 20 minutes of prayer. With focus, with intentionality, coming before God with a focus in our heart, in our minds. Adoration, just learning to adore and to acknowledge who God is. Listen, this is not just whistling in the dark. This is focusing on Him. And as He becomes more real to us, those are the perspectives, the eyes, the lenses that we need to see our world. I see the world through the eyes of the Lord who is my shepherd. I see the world through the eyes of the one who is almighty. There is nothing too difficult for him. I see the world through the eyes of him who is the rock, my strong tower. Adoration, acknowledging God for who he is, honoring his name, coming before him in worship. And then to move on from adoration to confession. Again, taking time to confess our sins with the promise that he will hear and he will forgive us. Why do we hold on to our garbage? Own up in the presence of God and look for his forgiveness. in that place of prayer, as we confess our sin, we also confess, God, you know what? I've been hurt by that person. And it hurts. It stings inside a little bit, what they did, what they said. But God, it's not honoring to hold on to this. Freely forgiven, I freely give. As you forgave me, I forgive others. Lord, I release that person. Listen, forgiveness is setting the prisoner free only to realize you are the one in chains. Letting people go. Oh, and then to move into thanksgiving and be specific about this. Thanking God for who He is and all that He's done. Counting your blessings. Name them one by one. Clearly connect the answers that God's brought into your life with God. Sometimes we pray and go, wow, that turned out. What a coincidence. It was not a coincidence. It was God's grace in your life. To give thanks to God for all that He's done, because thanksgiving, as we said last Sunday, thanksgiving is fuel for faith. God, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so faithful. In 2015, God, you were faithful. I give you thanks. It's not because it's just the right thing to do. It fuels my faith because I'm encouraged for the next year. And then we move into supplication, looking to God for the very things that we need, the situations we face, as well as praying for those who are in our world and praying that they would also know God's blessing. Again, we need prayer to bring us perspective. And another one of those verses in Scripture that you want to just go, yeah, right. Like, really? When James says, count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. Really? Really, James? You're just trying to be spiritual? Really? But what does James say? Don't be happy. He says, be joyful. Your joy is connected to Jesus. Happiness to happenings. So you're in trials of many kinds. And you consider joy. Why? Because James says, in the difficult times, God's perfecting you. He's working in you. He's building you. Listen, in some of the hard times, He knocks off some of the things in our character that are not honoring to Him, that don't help us at all. He get rid of them. And then James says, you know what? And when you're trying to be joyful in trials of many kinds and you're not getting it, ask God for wisdom. Okay, God, I know you're God. I know you're sovereign. I just don't get it. This seems too hard, too unjust, too not right. I'm just... God, give me wisdom. What is it that you are up to? Boy, we need to pray that way in our supplication. Anne Lamott, who is a very intriguing author, I'll just say that much. I've read a few of her books. Comes from a whole different world that I come from. Seems to have a very deep faith and desire in God, though. She wrote a little book called Three Essential Prayers. This gets real simple. Help. Thanks. Wow. Well, what if you took 15 minutes a day and you took 5 minutes just to say help? Help. Job, family, health, relationships, just to help God. Then having said help, just again take time to say thank you. Lord, this last week you helped me. That situation at work, that situation at school, at church, my family, you were there. I thank you, Lord, for that. And then, wow. Just to say, oh, God, you are so good. You are so good. So, here's what I'm trying to encourage us today. Is that we would fill our lives with all kinds of prayer. Intercession, asking in His name. Command, reflex prayers, fasting and prayer, that we would fill our toolbox with all kinds of ways that we can approach God. And if we said last week that we want to have an ongoing, active partnership with the Spirit in prayer, today we say, may we embrace, expand, and explore all kinds of prayer. Take some new steps in your prayer life in 2016. Try some new things. And I've given you some examples. And this little sheet this morning is just to be very practical. So you may want to start with the 3 or the 4 or the 12 from Eastman. But so I'm going to begin to actually purposely pray this way so that I'm not just kind of putting in time. And by the way, folks, You don't get points for length or loudness of your prayers. God's not deaf. Now, sometimes we pray loud because it's coming from the desire of our heart. But folks, understand, we don't get bonus marks for length, for numbers of theological terms you've used in your prayer, how loud you were. You get credit when you just come to God and begin to talk to Him. So I challenge us. And so there's a few things on the sheet that going, I'm just trying to be practical. Here's some ways that maybe some of you can say, you know, I'm going to do something specific. I'm going to do it differently this week. I'm going to pray for more than just my meals. Every morning at 5:30, I'm going to take 15 minutes. Or every morning at 10:30. Right, Nathan? That's a better time. Maybe when I get home from work at 6 o'clock, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to begin to structure all kinds of prayers. Because sometimes, folks, sometimes we get into a bit of a rut and we begin to miss the focus of how we're praying. On the opposite side of the sheet, I'm asking you to begin to pray these scriptures this week, even for New Hope. Pray about our mission as a church. From Matthew 9:35 through 10:4, I only gave you 10 verse 1 on the sheet. But pray for this in terms of our mission. As you pray for it, look at the passage and just begin to pray through Scripture. Jesus, You are all about the people. You're all about going to cities and villages. Your desire was to proclaim the gospel, the kingdom, good news to people. Your desire was to heal disease and affliction. And Jesus, when You saw the crowds, You had compassion on them. Lord, help me to see our neighborhood. Help me to see my neighborhood. Help me to see my city. Help me to see the people in my workplace the way You see them. Lord, I don't. I don't always walk through the lunchroom and feel compassion for people. That person kind of bugged me because they're loud. Help me to see people the way You see people, Jesus. Help me to see people the way You see people, that they need a shepherd, that I know who the shepherd is. I can actually direct them to the very one that they need. Lord, the harvest is plentiful. I pray You'd raise up laborers. Now, it's interesting, and I know why we do it. The church we pastored in Ontario last, before we moved back to Alberta, I would hear people often pray this prayer in prayer meetings. They pray, Lord, bring them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I know why we pray that, but I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, raise up harvest laborers to go out. Jesus told us to go. I don't know that He told us to pray that they would come. He told us to go. He says, and listen, this is a dangerous prayer to pray, so you may not want to. He says, then He said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, disciples, I want you to pray earnestly, entreating God. I want you to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Oh God, we have a city filled with lost people. The harvest is great, the laborers are filled. Lord, raise up laborers. In the very next verse, Jesus called to them and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and He sent them out. So if you pray this prayer about the mission of the church, it's not going to be us just being in here saying, God, do something out there. But if you pray this prayer, He's going to send you out. So, spoiler alert, warning. And then John 17. These are the words that Jesus prayed. Some of the words Jesus prayed in the garden before He was betrayed. In the garden, He prayed for Himself first. Father, be glorified in me so that You'll be glorified. All that's going to put to down, I want You to be glorified. I want You to be made great. And then He turns His attention, He prays for the 12 who are with Him, sleeping in the garden. He prays for them because they're going to be under a load of pressure. And then He comes to this part and He prays for all who will believe in their message. That's you and me. He prayed for us. And He didn't pray for us to be safe. He didn't pray for us to be wealthy and healthy. He prayed that we would be one. as you and I are one. So I'm suggesting that why not this week begin in your prayer time to pray through these two passages of Scripture. Pray them before God. Oh God, raise up laborers. Help us to see people the way you see people. Send us out, oh God. Lord, make us one. It's so easy. It's so easy for the enemy to try to come in and to divide us. But oh God, make us one. Make us one. That's your homework. That's your assignment. Worship team, can you come back? And we're going to sing. We're not going to sing it forever. Because I did pretty good. I'm stopping at noon. God does answer prayers. Pam. God does answer prayer. Walk by faith. When we pray, it's about faith, right? We're trusting in God. So would you stand with me, church? And we're just going to sing this a couple of times and say, you know what? The whole idea of prayer is about faith. It's about trusting and believing in our God. Amen? So I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to sing through the song only twice. Maybe. So Father God, you have instructed us to pray, and you have invited us to pray. From last week, we want to be praying all the time in the Spirit, active, ongoing partnership with the Spirit of God. And this morning, we're just being reminded that there's all kinds of ways for us to pray. And Lord, we want to embrace, expand, explore all these avenues of prayer, knowing that you indeed hear and answer. And so, Lord, our prayer is based upon the fact that we are committed to walking by faith. That's our desire. So we look to you, we trust in you, and you are faithful. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Hit it. Now. Anytime.
I put my trust in you. I walk by faith, each step by faith, to live by faith. I put my trust in you. I walk by faith, each step by faith, to live by faith. I put my trust in you. By faith, each step I take to live. By faith, I put my trust in you.
Every step I take is a step of faith. The weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every prayer I make is a prayer of faith.
Trust in you.
Every step I take is a step of faith. No weapon God against me shall prosper. And every prayer I make is a prayer of faith. And if my God is for me, then who can be against me? I put my trust in you.
I walk
by faith,
each step by
So folks, the altar call happens outside the doors of this place. Let's use all kinds of prayers this week and be a nuisance to the devil. Amen? Love you, church. Bless you. Have a great Lord's Day.
No problem.